this meeting to order a minute early. To start this important meeting, we have a legislative proclamation, totally a surprise to the sheriff, but so don't be embarrassed. So whereas Ulster County residents value the office of the Ulster County Sheriff in all sectors of law enforcement and appreciate its many members who are dedicated to preserving and protecting the safety of our community, and whereas its creation is one of our first public offices of colonial America, the office of the sheriff has been an integral part of the criminal justice system in New York State, having been established in our state's first constitution. And whereas, while its function, status, and powers have changed over the course of its existence, the office of the sheriff has been a constant and invaluable presence within the law enforcement community, whose mission is to serve the public, protect life and property, enhance community partnership, prevent crime, and foster goodwill through courtesy and professionalism. And whereas the office of the sheriff is unique, and its duties encompass many facets of public services, such as criminal law enforcement, crisis response training, traffic patrol, that's why it should go to law enforcement, emergency rescue operations, homeland security programs, civil emergency response, jail operation, correctional alternative management, courtroom security, and civil litigation progress, among others. And whereas, as a constitutionally established public office, the office of sheriff is directly accountable to the public it serves, fulfilling a distinctive and crucial public safety role in our county while balancing the right of the accused with the right of the victims. Now, therefore, I, Eve Walter, on part of David B. Donaldson, chairman of the Ulster County Legislature, do hereby direct this honorable body to pause in its deliberation to pay tribute and honor the significant contributions made by the Office of Sheriff, and do hereby proclaim September 19th through the 25th as Sheriff's Week in Ulster County.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And,
thank you, Sheriff, for everything you do for us. You are highly appreciated.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to photo op, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Myself out to photo op.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Glasses.
So it is National New York State Sheriff's Week, so I wanted to thank all of you folks for thinking about this office and the uniqueness. As you know, it's not an appointed position like the superintendent or the chief of police in the city. It works directly for the people, and it's one of the most humbling experience I ever had in my entire life. And so I'm very proud to stand here and accept it. So thank you.
Thank
On behalf
you.
Of the men and women of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take a motion to approve the August 5th meeting minutes.
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so let's move through these resolutions. The first one is resolution number 384, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to use American Rescue Plan Act for COVID-19 related expense for emergency management. A motion to discuss?
Make the motion.
Second?
Okay. Any questions or discussion?
No.
So I have the only thing that we brought up earlier was just the question, I guess two-part questions were, one, if we refund this money through ARP, are we able to still request it from FEMA and then put the money back? And two, and I guess the alternative is, if we do put it through, would that prevent us then from so it's this two sides of the same coin, but does approving it now then prevent us from asking FEMA for this money, or can we just do it? And so John,
the items that are in the resolution specifically are not FEMA reimbursable.
Oh, they're not,
so we would be able to go to FEMA regardless.
Okay.
Money for it's not covered as FEMA reimbursable expenses. Not allowed, based on finances, read of FEMA's rules and regs. The two items, there's some medical supplies and the payment to volunteers to staff the vaccination clinics.
So is that intentional? So is there still then this list of emergency management FEMA reimbursables that you're not putting in through ARP?
Correct. There are plenty of things that we're putting through FEMA for reimbursement. These are not capable of getting FEMA
is it possible for we will, I won't slow it down here, but like for Ways and Means to sort of see that list, like here are the ARP ones and here are the FEMA ones? Is that a reasonable thing to be able to pull together?
I'm sure that the applications we're putting into FEMA are probably readily available.
Because I just know, well, the expenses, because we regularly approve things that had a COVID on it with the understanding that it was going to get FEMA money. It sounds like some of those things will, and some of those, it turns out, won't.
The volunteers are just not able to be reimbursed by payment.
The application is broken down.
Yeah.
It is?
The FEMA application is broken down. What's being submitted is broken down, so.
Can you, just for Ways and Means, maybe just see that list?
Sure, and the list for ARP is in the
right, so if we just have the two together, we can have a sense and just connect them back. Because again, when we approved them with COVID-19, before we knew about ARP money, we just assumed they were all FEMA. And so it's just nice to see how they separate.
FEMA, I know that there's still running expenses and start to accumulate again.
Right, okay.
I'll absolutely get something.
That's helpful, thanks. All right, all in favor of Resolution 384?
Aye.
Okay. I assume there's no opposition. Resolution number 385, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 New York CRR parts of 617 SECR by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a public safety radio tower and appendatures to be located at Quarry Road and Socrates. A motion to discuss.
I make the motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just have one question.
Yep.
Who owns 35 Quarry Road?
You do.
Oh,
our
property?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's all.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor of Resolution 385?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 386, approving the execution of the contract for $156,121.20. Entered into the county T-Mobile USA for emergency management. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor of Resolution 386?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 387, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept a Governor Traffic Safety Committee grant for the Ulster County Sheriff. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second. Okay. Sheriff, want to tell us?
Buckle up, New York. You all buckle up, New York. Or seatbelts.
Cool. Is this
matching?
Yeah. All right. Any questions or comments?
No.
All in favor of Resolution 387?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Me too. Resolution 388, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,162. Caused the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county for New York Communications Company, Ulster County Sheriff. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion questions for the sheriff on this one?
No.
He knows what he's doing.
All right. All in favor of 388?
Aye.
Okay. Me too. 389, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with DCJS for the Aid of Defense Program Public Defender. Motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. So the public defender, we did ask her to come today, but she didn't, she isn't here. John, can you, John?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just let her know that, I mean, we haven't really seen her
at all.
And certainly when there's something for her, but it's also just, yeah, it'd be nice to see her. A representative, but yeah.
I mean, if they're looking to put a resolution forward, they should at least be here to take a few questions, if there is any, or explain herself.
This is just us receiving money, right, from DCJS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, all in favor of number 389?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, moving along. We were on the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force resolutions. So the first one is Resolution 422, adopt, and let me just say that a motion to block 422 and 423 because they work together. Can I have a motion for blocking 422 and
423? I make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor of the block?
Aye.
Okay, so 422 and 423 are essentially to require restorative justice training for any county personnel that work directly with victims or individuals who are accused. The first part is just a mechanism because it's not like documented in HR works with victims or accused. I mean, unless their title, you know, they work for victim services. So it just takes two pieces. One is identifying and then having that expectation. So motion to discuss the
I'll make
two?
That motion.
Second.
Okay, so questions, comments, concerns?
No, I have no questions regarding this because one is just a report regarding who the employees are, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then 423 would be requiring them to take the training?
Yeah, and this, I'll
or
tell you that...
urging them to take the training?
Well, requiring them, but this is, you know, after checking with the district attorney, the sheriff, probation, you know, each of the people who are their supervisors had no issue with that training expectation, and it's being provided monthly by family, so it's not an added cost to put those trainings into place. They exist. All right, anything else? All right, all in favor of 422 and 423?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. All right, 424, establishing a policy requiring an Ulster County Crisis Stabilization Center and request the initiation of procurement process to secure services. So in this case, this is going to need to be voted on in public safety. So really our conversation is just our support or
public health.
Public health, thank you, we are public safety. This is a blame the mask. We would need a motion to refer, but is there any, sorry, motion to discuss first.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. So any discussion before we discuss the referral? Any concerns or issues?
Not at this time. I'd like to make the motion.
Okay. And just so you know, this resolution and the next one were reviewed by the executive's office with no concerns.
John,
I'm Mark
do you
Ryder.
Concur?
What?
I said, John, do you concur?
I.
Or Mark, you said you spoke with Mark?
Mark Ryder several times.
We are waiting for a behavioral health task force recommendations, but we're not taking a position on this.
Well, Mark has looked it over. He's actually said he's drafted the RFP already. So there's.
Because this is urging them to do an RFP, right? This urges the executive's office to go out.
Yes, initiation of a procurement process.
On 425, that's
okay,
the ultimate.
Well, there's a specific RFP request in one of it.
Yeah, 425.
In both of them.
Both
it
of
actually
them.
Does two things. It, for your purposes on the legislative side, is establishing a policy requiring the county have the stabilization center and the respite houses, and then to piggyback on that, in furtherance of that policy, requesting the initiation of an RFP process.
Right.
But again, this has to still go, this technically should go to public health.
Yeah, well, we have to make a motion to refer, but, you know, whether you're comfortable with a referral with our endorsement or just a straight referral. So.
Does that matter much?
No, it's just, I mean, it's good to know whether it is in a way. I mean, obviously, if you have concerns, this would be a good time to note it at least.
Dean, got any concerns?
I really don't know.
You really don't know, or you really don't now?
I don't now, no.
Okay.
That's hard.
Yeah, I'll support it to go to public health.
Great. All right, so that's a motion, that's a second?
Right.
Okay, and then the same with resolution 425 for the respite houses?
Yeah, that definitely I have concerns with.
Okay,
so
do you want to talk about them now?
No, not in particular, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you. but I will support it to go to public health.
Okay, so that's the motion to refer?
I'll second it.
Second it? Okay. All in favor of the referral? I don't think I actually did that with the other one, but... Okay. The 426 is amending the Ulster 2021 Ulster County budget to create a professional standards supervisor position for the office of the sheriff. So this is a part of... This also connects with Resolution 427, so can I just take a motion to block those two?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor of the block?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
And so I'm going to make a motion after we talk about it that we have no action with the hope and expectation that this shows up in the budget. And should it not show up in the budget, then we could do a budget amendment.
Correct.
With your support. So, but before we make a motion for no action, is there any discussion that either of you would like to
have? Only question I have for the sheriff is like, what will his duties contain?
Which one? There's two of them. So the professional standards person or the CIT manager?
The professional standards person.
So presently...
Because that job doesn't exist at the moment,
it
right?
It does not.
Okay.
So presently we have a detective lieutenant who's in charge of detectives, is a number two person at Urgent. Was the PIO at one point. I had to remove, he had too many hats. And this should not be a collateral duty. This should be a duty for one person in an office and a division, really. And the importance of this position is that this position will be responsible for internal affairs, will be responsible for equal employment opportunity with the new laws involving 50A. He's going to be the one that's reviewing all the files that get foiled. The other job that he will be doing is audits. We don't have anybody to do audits. And this individual is not going to be associated or affiliated with any unions. He's independent. Presently, the person that does internal affairs right now is a member of the union. And I find that as a conflict. And again, it should not be a collateral duty. The internal affairs, which is part of professional standards, was revamped this past year. The last 2.5 years, we've been revamping rules and regulations within the office. And although it's been a team effort, we all have collateral jobs. This office would be in place to do most of that, to include those audits within the divisions that we have. On top of the accreditation audits, it's a quality assurance position. So this is something that is desperately needed in an office like the sheriff's office. This should never be a collateral duty, especially in today's world of transparency and accountability.
So he'll have plenty to do.
Sir?
He'll have plenty to do, it sounds.
Yes, he will have plenty to do.
He or she.
I'm good with that.
And did you want any questions about the CIT manager?
No.
Okay. So take a motion to do no action at this time?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then we hope to see it on your budget. Okay. Resolution number, and that's, sorry, that we blocked them, so that's
right.
For both of them.
For both
I
of
just
them.
Want to make sure you
yes.
Can, before I go to 428. All right, 428, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to create a criminal justice discrimination support referral specialist. The same idea, but I will eventually take a motion to do no action and with the expectation that this would show up in the 2022 budget. And then we could always put in a budget amendment if not. But before that, is there any questions, comments, or concerns about this one?
Yeah, I do. Eve, would you just speak to this? Potentially.
Sure.
I just would like to know a little bit about what they're seeing that would warrant an extra position possibly be created. What's occurring?
So there's two pieces to it. Some of what's occurring there and some of it of what is a concern in the county. So that we need somebody to address. So according to Tyrone, he gets all sorts of calls all the time. And, you know, some of them, if it's a human rights violation, that's what he's supposed to be handling. But he'll get all sorts of calls like, I don't know how to deal with this, or I thought I was treated badly by my public defender, or I thought this happened, or, you know. So, and what they tend to do, in a more somewhat informal way is a somewhat of a more referral process. Like there is a place this is a number you would call to do it, or this is how you would handle it. But for the most part, you know, their main task is human rights violations and investigating those kinds of things. They're not first and foremost a referral unit. But they are who gets them. They're the ones when people don't know where to call, they would call. But the other part is this concern that a lot of people don't know what to do anyway. And so what we've heard in the meeting was, you know, the sheriff would hear about all these people who are upset in the DA's office. The DA's office would hear about all these people who felt like they were treating poorly with the public defender's office. And like, everyone's calling the wrong number. Or not knowing who to call or what to do when each of these things, if you have a complaint about the sheriff's office, there's a specific step that you're supposed to take. If you have a concern about a prosecutor, there's a different step. It's, you know, it's a different complaint process. If you have a complaint about a public defender, it's a different step. And so the idea is this person would be well trained on providing those kinds of referral services. We would promote this. So the idea is, you know, whether it's a billboard or something, saying to people, if you have a problem, you call this number and somebody will tell you the steps.
But don't also call Tyrone.
Through that office, because it was the most logical office.
I'm just wondering how this is going to alleviate people still calling the Human Rights Commission. So you're looking.
It's still the Human Rights Commission, because it's someone in the Human Rights Commission.
So support staff then.
It's a support staff, so it's someone.
I work the job of the queen of answering the phone where people don't know where to call.
Right, right.
For 300,000 people.
Exactly,
every day.
But it's someone who actually then knows all of the answers.
Is he getting a lot of calls?
Well, he's getting some, but the whole idea is the concern is also the people who aren't calling. They're calling the sheriff for the DA. They're calling the wrong numbers. So there's
people call me all the time though that don't know where to call, and I just direct them where to call. So I'm just really trying.
It's not so much who to call; it's what you're supposed to do to issue a complaint.
Okay.
That the process. I can't even tell you right now if I'm concerned about a prosecutor. If I'm in trial and I don't feel like the prosecutor treated me fairly, I couldn't tell you what I'm supposed to do. I don't know who I'm supposed to call and how I'm supposed to put that complaint in.
Is it the unified court system?
Well, I'm saying I don't know. And so this person would have that skill set. The other part is that Tyrone has, of the calls he does have, many of these people, when he does get those calls, because again, a lot of these people are calling the wrong places or calling no one, which is the bigger concern, is they need some hand-holding sometimes. And sometimes what he offers, as much as he can, but it's beyond his, you know, his main mission, is, you know, I'll be on the phone with you, or maybe, you know, I can just sort of guide you through this phone call in any way that you might need help. And so, it's really a diversion of complaint to the appropriate place and an assistant to do that. And like I said, some are going to him. He can't really handle more. He has some skill set in it, but there really needs to be someone who specializes it. And we need to take the call, try to divert the calls from the wrong to the wrong departments, and we need to encourage people who aren't calling and saying that they're experiencing problems to feel a safe place that they can call. So it's threesome, yeah.
I just want to add something. You reminded me of something that happened to me this past year. We had a complainant that made a complaint against a member of the sheriff's office. They refused to come talk to us. I assigned an African-American who is a part-time professional standards guy to go and speak to them and investigate. They wouldn't even talk to him. The ironic thing was that the meeting was held in a park with the county executive. I think you were there, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
And this, they would not come to the office because they were afraid of law enforcement, which I never even thought of that. A person like that is exactly who they would call, because in some instances, they're not gonna call me, even though they made a complaint against my office and we have to investigate. They just refuse. They instead contacted the county exec's office, and the county exec himself came with me and we met at a park.
Right.
So a person like that, I believe, is what you're talking about. That liaison that can direct people to to what needs to be done. And I actually changed my complaint form to say that if they're afraid to come to the sheriff's office, that we can meet them somewhere else.
The other part of this which came up is that the restorative justice group is really interested and have already started the work of doing community restorative justice. And so with community restorative justice, one of the things that I've heard from the DA's office is often the complaints he's hearing about law enforcement is, I will summarize as, I want to complain the police won't arrest my a-hole neighbor. Where they're really not complaining about treatment by law enforcement, they're complaining that law enforcement isn't coming and arresting their neighbor who they hate. And what we recognized is this person can also divert people to family if it's a community restorative justice issue, where it's a matter of two neighbors sitting down and having a conversation with each other. And we have a few very serious neighbor issues that the sheriff couldn't nod his head to. And so the idea is some of these complaints aren't really about the criminal justice system. It's about a community restorative justice problem. And so ideally this person can connect them to family, and family could go out and do a community restorative justice to try to figure out what's, you know, how to create harmony. Or with a lowercase h, perhaps. Does that answer?
For the some of it.
Okay.
But yeah, I think this is going to be something that should go through budget, like you had indicated.
Right, right. So. Okay. Any other questions? So, motion to do no action on resolution 2428.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi, second?
Yes, second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. So now resolution 429 is establishing the actual hotline number. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
All right. So there's the question of the hotline is this idea of creating easy access where that number, when it rings, is for these kinds of calls to let people in our community know, promote and advertise that there is this hotline. We could either proceed with the hotline while they don't have somebody who is particularly focused on this call, which could speak to some of your concerns, because we would find out how big the demand is if we start with the hotline, and then we could hear from Tyrone how much of a pressure that's putting on his office. The downside is if it's too much, then people are calling and not getting the services that they need. So we could either proceed with the hotline, or we could choose to do no action until and keep it grouped. I purposely did not group them now because we could go either way. We could, yeah. So thoughts on either proceeding with the hotline for now?
I think we should keep them grouped.
Keep them grouped?
So it's all done at one time.
Heidi, your thoughts?
You just think we should just keep it grouped?
So it all can be done at one time. Because until it goes through the budget thing, you don't even know if it's going to take place.
Yeah.
Well, it's more that the hotline, the position would be the person who's tasked with doing it. Otherwise, the hotline would just go to Human Rights Commission, and it would be up to Tyrone to deal with.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking keep it separated. That way, if the position doesn't fly, they'll still have a hotline.
Okay.
So you want to move on forward with that,
yeah,
with the hotline? Okay. So all in favor of resolution 429?
Aye.
This is the hotline only.
Just the hotline.
Just the hotline.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. Next we have 430, establishing an Ulster County Law Enforcement Community Advisory Board. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Do you need any background on this one?
No.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of establishing an Ulster County Law Enforcement Community Advisory Board?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. 431, requesting the initiation of procurement process to secure reentry services for individuals serving time in the Ulster County Jail. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Sheriff, do you want to say anything about sort of the relevancy or your feeling about this one?
So right, our re-entry kind of is limited to when you leave. We have a vendor that has that covered, but once they leave, there's nothing that this office does for somebody that's out there to avoid them from coming back in.
And would this, the idea would be that this position also helped with any kind of educational, occupational, any kind of training support while they are in your
house? Yes. At least there's a plan when they're actually, when they get out and they're out.
Right.
In my opinion, the stop the recidivism rate is, I think, key to all. We stop these folks, which is $262 a day, keep somebody at the jail. We stop them from coming back to the jail. Well, I think we all win. So I think it's something that we should think about and discuss. I don't know specifically how you want it to run, but I do believe that if you invest in people, from stopping them coming back into the jail, whether it's housing, education, or employment, that we all win.
Okay. Well, I would hope, I would assume, and I'll refer this to John and Anna, that the RFP, should this pass, would include you in the conversation of what the RFP should say, and you know, so that it's that, I mean, obviously the specifics of how it would run would depend on who's applying for the RFP and what they say they're going to do, but that you would, you know, want to at least see the language of it. I will add, just also on a side note, and I don't know if anyone has heard of the, but several months ago, family actually applied to a grant to do this in our jail. But it's NIH, it's highly competitive, and we have no idea if they'll get it. And so it's sort of this weird thing, because it takes months, 6 months often, for NIH to tell you this. The task force wanted this. I didn't want to wait to see if family gets it. So we might pass this, and it turns out family gets this grant, and they're already funded, and they'll just go do it, and we'll just have to just pull the RFP. We're not going to have two organizations doing it. But it's super competitive. I don't know, have you heard, or John, about whether family, it may be months and months before they even hear, but, yeah.
I have a question. So I've heard of these types of discharge programs through pilot programs, right? There's been pilots for these types of discharge programs?
Excuse me?
Pilots. Any pilot programs out there for these types of plans?
For reentry?
They
it's not, they actually doing it. Like, they, in our jails, in our prisons, they're all happening.
State prisons, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it, we try to do what we can while they're incarcerated, but once they go out that door, there's not much that we can do.
But I Fred, and, you know, even the one coming out of Albany County when he was doing that pilot program, I know it was for,
reentry?
No, substance use disorder.
Substance use disorder.
I'm still working on that.
And things take a long time.
Yes.
I mean, I agree with this 100%. I really do, and to cut down on recidivism as well. How we, you know, get to it is a whole nother question. I mean, family comes up a lot. I just feel like sometimes family has a lot that they're involved in, you know, that they take on. But, you know, we're not to that point to where we have to have that discussion yet, but definitely I support this.
Great. Yeah, and you know, this will be open for any organization that feels they're able to. There's, I know that Osborne Association does this in many of the prisons. But so there's different organizations that might want it. I just wanted to make sure you all knew that there would happen to be this grant proposal that family had put out. But by no means is, you know, family necessarily who would win this RFP. It would be a,
but you did mention, though, if family got it.
Well, we can't, if NIH pays family a bunch of money to do this in our jail, I think it would be very hard for anyone in the executive office to say, no, we're not going to take that money. And then it would also be very weird to have two organizations doing the exact same thing. So it's highly unlikely they will get it, because NIH is super competitive, and I'm imagining that our jail population is not going to be the same as you might see in bigger cities and other places. So we very well, the likelihood of getting it is slim.
Just so that I understand, though, so there's vendors out there that perform these services, so this would go out for an RFP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, vendors that I know of do this for state prisons. Are you aware of any county jails where this is being done?
I don't know of them, but I haven't done that research. But it's, you know, it's a similar type of action. I mean, understanding exactly what their educational, occupational, substance abuse, health kinds of needs are, getting them connected, doing referrals. I mean, this is, it's not that complicated a process. It's just not happening.
I think there is a need to understand the difference in the population between the state prisons and the county jail, because, you know, for a state prison, you could be in jail for 10 years, and then you really do, you know, need a house and a job, and because your whole life has been disrupted. If someone's there for a weekend or for a few, you know, I think we need to figure out what are the criteria of who we need to help and who doesn't need this service.
Well, that's up. The organization certainly would do that because they would have an assessment and an intake. Mm-hmm. That's what they always do. An important thing that came up in the task force is this idea that if you're in jail for a weekend, if that's a red flag. I mean, a red flag, you need some help, because otherwise you wouldn't be there, even if it was just for 2 days. Some people are there for longer, but the reality is that's an excellent red flag that you're a person who might need some help. The intake process would then determine if you do, and if you do, what kind. So that would be how we would identify that they were having trouble getting a job. Or that would be how we would identify that they really wanted to go to school but didn't know how. Or we would identify that they have a substance use disorder and that aren't connected to services afterwards. So, I think the feeling was, it's a red flag. It's a red flag that somebody's very likely needs help. And this service would provide them that kind of case management service of connecting them and following them and making sure that they, you know, have what they need to continue with those kinds of services. And, you know, the jail has had an interest of, I mean, before COVID, working with, like, organizations like Bread Alone or others to really help provide employment opportunities, employment training. You know, it's also an opportunity somebody can really be identified as someone who really would benefit from some kind of occupational or educational support. And substance abuse, which is a big one, is really tracking them and making sure they get into the kinds of services that we have here. So, any other questions?
Not at the moment.
All right, are you willing to...
Yeah, I'll pass it out of here, yeah.
Okay, so all in favor, Resolution 431?
Aye.
Okay. any new business? Any old business? So, I guess in old business, John, Legislator Parody, said so he has a commitment to the New York City Crime Commission to be in a round table, and he has a draft letter he will share soon to be sent to invite electeds and professionals for the, I don't want to call it a public hearing, whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Testimony?
The
special meeting?
Yeah,
testimonial.
I guess.
Oh, special meeting.
The special meeting or meetings or discussion, further discussion about public safety.
Okay.
Interrogations.
The other thing I just, for old business, is we had discussed the nature of putting in a resolution for a direct initiative to respond to individuals who are at risk of committing serious violent acts. After we had discussed it, the executive and the sheriff publicly announced the initiation of AVERT, which is specifically it is the same thing we discussed doing, so
right.
We no longer need to proceed with that because they are proceeding with it, and I assume that's a part of the 2022 budget?
Yes, the county executive, myself, the city of Kingston, police department, we got together on this plan, and the plan is to move forward in the 2022 budget on it.
Also, the process won't start until that time, then?
That's already started.
I'm sorry?
The, So that's when the process will start doing that? Is that
yeah,
that
we
time?
Already have. Like,
oh, you already have
it. We have somebody in place that's already starting the process.
Okay, good.
With the meetings.
And I think that's an awesome idea. That's good.
And then the only other thing I had said we would look into was this idea of funding for Ulster Prevention Council for community level responses to violence in Saugerties, New Paltz, and Ellenville. Mm-hmm. I have reached out to Ulster Prevention Council to say, well, what would it be? How would this work? Who would run it? What would it cost? What would
right.
it need? I haven't heard back from Cheryl DiPaolo, but I will follow up. Whatever it ends up being is not going to be something until the 2022 budget. Perhaps it's the legislative programs or something else. But I just wanted you to know that I am following up on that. Anything else anyone cares to share? All right, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you all.